What's going on, Jay? How are you?
I'm just trying to picture how fired up everybody's going to be at Shanks for this AFC Championship.
Yes.
I don't know about how they're billing it up north, but here it's the game of the century.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, same.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Don't believe what you hear anywhere else. Actually, no, we don't even have a game on CBS, so I'm not going to try to lie to you.
Fair enough.
But it's an excuse to go out and have a few soda pops and, you know, watch a little professional football. So what the heck?
What the heck is right? We were talking this morning a little bit about, because in the Canadian Football League up here, they just announced, halfway through the season, we're putting in another bye week. Now every team gets three of them, and no more padded practices. We're looking out for player safety. The Miami Dolphins and Tampa Bay Buccaneers won't get a single bye week this year because of the hurricane.
Don't you remember that?
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they had two in a row. They didn't play every game Labor Day weekend, and then they didn't have a game the day after that. Yeah.
So now
that's
they have to try to tell you. Yeah.
The
now they run the table. I mean, would that ever be something that the NFL, I mean, there's more, right now there's more focus on player safety than maybe there has been, or is it crazy to think that the NFL could drag out its season?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all, and I think you'd be naive to think that, like, this was kind of sprung on, I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys were hearing rumblings of it up there. It came out of the blue to me. It appeared to come out of the blue to a lot of people, you know, again, in the middle of a season, you know, creeping up on the playoffs. I doubt it shocked the NFL. You know, there's a lot more conversation between the NFL and the CFL than people probably think about rules, about sharing officials, about common sort of goals, about how that relationship while never wanting to give the never wanting to connote that the CFL was some sort of minor league or feeder system for the NFL. So the league being the NFL will always be very careful about how they couch things. But they certainly discuss things. So the NFL will be watching this very closely, and as data is compiled about, you know, this number of injuries under the new, you know, the new rules versus the old, et cetera, you know, that's all data points that the NFL will track closely. I mean, Goodell has talked in the past about, you know, helmetless practices and maybe where this all ultimately goes. And there's been talk of a second bye week. Of course, the second bye week is in conjunction with talk of an 18-game regular season and a 2-3-game preseason, probably more like two. So all those are sort of macro-level issues that will be hashed out in another couple of years when these sides sit down to start putting together a new collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, that's the sort of trade-offs that are made. Well, we'll give you, you know, we'll make practice even safer, but then you may need to play another game or two. Or, you know, while we're making the game itself safer, we'll also make practices safer, and we'll make you play less of those meaningless games where you see teams and individuals have their seasons wrecked in August for nothing.
It seems like common sense. So, you know, will it happen? Hard to say.
I mean, the guys who would hate this the most are coaches. But I would dare tell you, as much as NFL teams pay their coaches, when they sit down to decide rules changes, like when they change the overtime format, then when they change the overtime format again and shortened it, when they make significant changes to the game, the coaches aren't in the room voting. It's the owners. And the coaches just have to adapt. So the coaches are pissed off that 14 padded practices in a season isn't enough, and they don't get enough practice time. But trust me, the NFL doesn't sell tickets to practice, do they?
Johnny Manziel is making news up here. He's given one of the teams, the team in Hamilton, Ontario, 10 days to sign me, trade me, or release me. Are you a believer yet that Manziel could step on a CFL field?
I mean, could he step on a field? Sure. I think he would be cognitively and physically able to walk on a football field. Could he perform at any sort of a level that you expect? I mean, has he been in their offense much? Like, has he been attending meetings? Has he been in installations? Are they just going to let him freelance? And I don't really think he has any leverage. Again, I have not covered the CFL extensively, but I have often checked in on who owns the rights to Tim Tebow and who owns the rights to Vince Young and how the process works. I've never heard of a player being able to give sort of an ultimatum to a team. I believe they own his rights for a considerable period of time, you know, as a foreign player, and he doesn't get to dictate to them what they do with it. So I have not been following that closely. I do not believe Johnny Manziel has any future in the NFL, so he's pretty far off my grid. But the only way he would start to generate any real conversation in the NFL is if he played a season or a considerable portion of a season in the CFL and performed at a you know, exceedingly high level and also was a choir boy off the field.
I got three games I've highlighted this week because I think it's really big clashes early on. I'll probably start with one that you guys likely have, Philadelphia at KC.
I'm sorry.
Here, boy.
Off my lap, and I don't know what's going on.
Come on. Come here, boy.
Are you buying what the Chiefs are selling after week one?
Hang on. Hey, what's the dog's name?
Copper.
Copper.
Sorry.
Copper.
Copper.
Like from the Fox
and
Hound?
Are you barking at me?
That settled him down.
Yeah, see, now I walk away. He's a tough guy when I walk away. I'm sorry, what three games, buddy?
Just KC Philly's the first. Just thoughts on the Chiefs' opening week performance. Pretty impressive to go and win in New England anytime.
Yeah, I mean, now how do you handle success, right? Do you get too high? You've had three extra days off since that was a Thursday. And has everybody been reading their press clippings and are they planning the parade route? Andy Reid never takes anything for granted, and he's had his share of heartbreak, so I know what he's been preaching to those guys, but did it get through? You know, a lot of teams week one, and they're going to be a good football team, and anybody could win the AFC West. I think I've said that on your air repeatedly, and I know I've written it, and it's kind of been my mantra. You give me the order of those four teams in any sequence, and I'd buy it. But, yeah, this is an emotional game for Andy Reid. It's obviously where he spent most of his career, in Philadelphia. And they're two teams that know each other well. There's been personnel sort of going back and forth. I mean, Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, was a longtime Reid assistant. You know, there's a lot of sort of institutional knowledge about each other. I loved Carson Wentz last season. I really loved him week one. I'm not saying he's going to the Pro Bowl right away. I'm not saying he's going to look all pro every week. And the Redskins' defense isn't all that. But I think as much as everybody talked about Kansas City because it was prime time and it was against New England, Carson Wentz legitimately looked like Ben Roethlisberger last week. A young Ben Roethlisberger, a spry Ben Roethlisberger, a fit Ben Roethlisberger. So he's going to win some games for them. And the Chiefs are going to have a better pass rush than that. Tom Brady was off. I mean, Tom Brady did not have a good game. He completed less than 50% of his chances, and it wasn't because he was under duress. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, it's a very intriguing game. And I think it's going to take 12 or 13 wins to win the AFC West. So every game counts for those teams.
The other two, Dallas at Denver, sticking with the AFC West theme. Then, of course, the Sunday night looks good with Green Bay and Atlanta. Just any tidbits on those two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Denver, a short week for them, a big stage here against America's team. This, to me, though, is an interesting test for Dak Prescott. The Giants have a good defense, but he faced that defense twice last year. It's basically all the same personnel. It's the same scheme with Steve Spagnuolo. It was sort of a known quantity. I mean, Denver's defense is truly elite, and I'm going to expect them to have some tricks up their sleeve for Dak. And, can Denver hold up stopping the run? Are they able to just run Ezekiel Elliott into the ground, control the clock that way, and play it like they did last year, where all Dak had to do is really don't turn it over and he's fine? You know, or do we see this we heard a lot of talk about the evolution of Dak Prescott, how they're going to take more deep shots, and it's going to be more of a big boy passing attack. You know, so let's see how that evolves. I thought Trevor Siemian quietly had a pretty good game for Denver, and that's all. He just has to manage the game. They have to run the ball a little bit and play defense. And I'm sorry, what was the third game?
Night game, Green Bay at Atlanta.
This is another one where, you know, is Atlanta as bad as they looked at times against Chicago, and is Green Bay as good as they looked at times against Seattle? I'm not a staunch believer in Green Bay's defense. Seattle has major offensive line issues, and guys like Mike Daniels of the Packers looked like Reggie White last week. I don't know if that's going to be the case week in and week out. Those two teams, to me, you know, overreactions. We get these real small sample size week one, and then, you know, it's like, oh, the Falcons are in trouble. And I think the Falcons are not going to win as many games as last year, but I don't know that they're in trouble. I mean, I still think they're going to be in this playoff hunt till the end. And then Green Bay, oh, they have a defense now. you know, because they were all over Russell Wilson last week. Well, they were all over Russell Wilson last week because the Seahawks have two-fifths of an offensive line right now. This is Atlanta's first game in their new stadium. I have a feeling Green Bay's defense is walking into a little bit of a buzzsaw. On a fast track, in a dome, their first game there, all the elements playing you know, to Matt Ryan's, how he likes it.
What did we see last week? Now, I know that we're able to get to Tom Savage, but the defense, Calais Campbell had a field day. Jacksonville's defense, we've seen teams ride a good defense, and if they're going to have any success, they're going to have to, and I can't believe I'm even talking about Jacksonville. But we were talking about it earlier just in terms of, you know, if your play is throwing a $20 down on a game or whatever, are they legit? Are they for real as, and not every week, but they sure look good last week. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have speed, they have talent. Can they put it all together in a coherent scheme and adhere to it and not freelance? And most importantly, can they dominate games early defensively? Because, you know, Blake Bortles doesn't play football until he's down 21, you know? So if you're able to play with the lead and keep the ball out of your quarterback's hands, and they've got a power back there in Fournette who they'll run into the ground, then there's an equation there where I will finally buy the Jags as viable. I'm not buying them as playoff team. I'm not buying them as winning that division because, to me, you ultimately have to have a quarterback in January. But the defense has legit talent. It does. And Calais Campbell lined up at all four D-line positions and pretty much ate the opposing offensive lineman's lunch at every single position. Now, the Texans' offensive line was horrible. Tom Savage is not very mobile. It was kind of a perfect storm. So we'll see. I think they'll be improved. You know, I kind of like the Jags the way I like the Browns. Like, they're not going 1-15. Mm-hmm. I don't think the defense will lead the way. They're going to run the ball fairly well, and I think they could win, you know, twice as many games, three times as many games as last year. The problem is that still only gets you to 5 or 6 wins.
What about the Vikings at the Steelers? I mean, Steelers were no screaming hell last week, and the Vikes put on a bit of a show at home. It's a different story now at Heinz Field, but. What do you see here?
I mean, that's a toss-up game to me. You know, Le'Veon Bell didn't have a training camp, and as much as the Steelers were kind of suckered into thinking it didn't matter because he looked so great in a Wednesday practice and a Thursday practice, he had 13 touches for 47 yards. He is the central cog of that offense. They go as he goes, even with Martavis Bryant back from suspension and everything else. They've got a ton of money, and they're invested in their offensive line now. You know, they want to protect Ben, and they want to make Le'Veon Bell the focal point and run everything else off of that. They were not able to do that last week, and it almost cost them a game against, you know, again, an improved but not great Browns team. Minnesota has a legit defense, and Minnesota's coach, Mike Zimmer, was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati forever. He knows the Steelers and what they do offensively inside out. Conversely, they know him as well. I think it makes for an intriguing matchup. Minnesota's not going to get the kind of pressure this week that they got last week. I don't see that being the case. And I also think Sam Bradford's going to be under more duress than he was last week. And can the Vikings really open up their offense? Is it really a big boy offense week in, week out? Or are they a team that's good enough to expose the Saints in the dome in perfect conditions at home? You know, but can they pack that offense on the road? I'm a bit of a skeptic, but Dalvin Cook certainly is going to open some things up for them, and they have a little bit of talent there. But I think Pittsburgh knows that they got away with one last week, and I'd be very interested to see how they respond because Mike Tomlin will be, you know, in their ear all week.
Any point talking about Zeke Elliott and where that goes, or are we into the legal proceedings for the next unforeseeable amount of time?
We're getting into the weeds. Yeah, we're getting into the weeds. The NFL... you know, has filed an appeal of the decision in Texas seeking an injunction, or basically a stay, that would lift the judge's decision that's allowing him to play and reinstate the suspension. They want an expedited appeal of that. They would like to find out by tomorrow if that's going to be the case. A, they may not find out by tomorrow because it's really not their call. And B, I have yet to talk to a legal expert who believes they have much of a chance of getting that granted. So if or when that's not granted, then the league will file a separate appeal in a different court in New York, and that's when we're playing the feud. That's when it's forever, you know, Tom Brady Deflategate. Brief here, filing date here, pre-trial hearing there, and then you end up getting a court date, you know, in February.
Awful.
Great stuff, man. Enjoy that.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I love that stuff.
Yeah, we'll call you from Shanks while we're watching the Thursday Nighter tonight.
AFC Championship preview.
Yeah. And
yeah. Copper likes the Bengals.
That's all right.
Copper likes the Bengals.
Copper. He's got 8 doggy bones on the Bengals. I got your bet in for you, buddy. We're good. It's good. Yeah, the Bengals.
Thank you, Jay. We'll talk to you Monday.
See
you later.
Thursday night football tonight at Shanks North and Shanks South as the Bengals host the Texans.